A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The World in 10, the big news stories of the day explained and analysed by the Times of London. Toby Gillis and Bhavani Vaddy with you for the next 10 minutes.
Concerns over Chinese espionage in Europe after both Germany and the UK make multiple arrests of people accused of passing information to Beijing. Our correspondent analyses the threats.
There's rising concern over China's alleged espionage activities in Europe after both Germany and the United Kingdom arrested a number of people suspected of working as Chinese spies in recent days.
The latest was the arrest of a man working for the hard-right German politician Maximilian Krah, who is the AfD's leading candidate in the European elections. The man is accused of passing information about the European Parliament to Chinese intelligence and spying on Chinese opposition figures in Germany.
His arrest comes a day after German authorities arrested two men and a woman with links to academia for allegedly handing over technologies with potential military purposes to Chinese intelligence. The cases are not thought to be linked.
And on the same day in the UK, two men were charged for spying for China, including one who is reported to have worked as a parliamentary researcher for a prominent MP in the governing Conservative Party. Well, joining us now is Richard Spencer, The Times' China correspondent. Richard, a flurry of activity over the last few days.
I think it's all part of a new seriousness with which many European powers are taking the risk of infiltration and information being passed back to both Russia and China. And we can't really say, obviously, whether we think any of these people are guilty or not before proper legal procedure. But what we can say is that there is a renewed concern amongst the European governments, particularly following America, which has been launching prosecutions like this for some time, about this whole issue.
How much of a concern to European democracies does China's activities pose?
China is using, you know, the openness of the West, if you like, to gain access to politicians, to try and influence Western institutions. That threat can be overplayed in some sense. And there is always a fine line to be drawn when it comes to, you know, engagements between foreign powers and parliamentarians as to at what point a reasonable approach to openness and discussion and exchange of views becomes a way of putting pressure on politicians and trying to influence them behind closed doors and also selling secrets and secret information and secret discussions and confidential discussions. That's kind of grey area which clearly has to be delineated.
Now, China has denied carrying out spying in Germany and the UK. Richard, what's your analysis on China's overall strategy in gaining information from the West?
China has a very conscious policy for the last 40 years, if not for the last 100 years or 200 years, in which it has fallen behind the West. And it has a long-term plan, which all its leaders share, that it has to revive itself, catch up with the West, including in terms of scientific development. You know, China's made a concerted effort to get people to study and take back this scientific knowledge, knowing that British and American and German research in some of the most cutting edge areas, for example, with lasers, you know, these countries have been well ahead of China in recent decades, and China's caught up very rapidly. You know, I think if you think of China as a competitor, I mean, you don't have to think of it as a hostile power even. You just, you know, there are reasons why we have secrets, and science is good and we all want to share science. But do we really want to share military use science with countries that we don't fully trust like China? And we've been doing that quite openly.
Okay, Richard Spencer, thank you. In terms of Germany's domestic politics, by the way, this latest arrest is a further setback for the hard-right AfD, which had been riding high in the polls before other recent corruption allegations involving Russia came about. Israel's accusation that members of the United Nations Refugee Agency in Gaza played a part in the October the 7th terror attack is among the most shocking of the allegations reported since the situation started. At the time, it prompted 18 nations, including the US and Britain, to suspend $450 million worth of funding to the agency. In America's case, it actually banned sending any more cash until next year, although a lot of those countries have now restored their donations. Yet today, strong doubts are being raised about the veracity of the claim, with Israel having provided no evidence to the independent review into it.
The Colonna report was commissioned to look at claims that staff from the UN's Relief and Works Agency, or UNRWA, were members of terrorist organisations like Hamas. While it's not yet corroborated Israel's claim, it has found that some publicly expressed political views, which is against the UN's official policy of neutrality. Some UNRWA schools also used textbooks which contained what the investigation calls anti-Semitic and problematic content.
But at this juncture, the key claim that forced the UN to commission the report, that 12 people of around 13,000 UNRWA members took part in the October the 7th attacks, simply hasn't been proven, albeit that those 12 are all either dead now or have been removed from their positions anyway. The Times' Gabriel Weiniger told us there'll be hope UNRWA can now focus back on its work and also question the impact the unproven claims will have on Israel's international standing.
UNRWA is or was the biggest aid group in Gaza and, in fact, the West Bank and supporting Palestinians. There have been many, many officials from across the board who say that UNRWA has a huge infrastructure which can't be replaced by any other agency. So there's been a huge gap made in civil society management in Gaza since they've been blacklisted to effect. There's no alternative agency capable of carrying out the range of UNRWA's tasks. Israel's had it in for UNRWA for a very long time, particularly when it comes to UNRWA-funded education. So they've been arguing against the existence of UNRWA and the ties between UNRWA and Hamas for a very, very long time and far before this war. They say this report, it has been backed by the UN and it ignores the severity of the problem, that it doesn't deal with the enormous scope of Hamas's infiltration into UNRWA. Well, Israel says it's provided quite a lot of other evidence for the Hamas infiltration of UNRWA. Some evidence wasn't cited in the report. So is Israel risking public trust? Yes. Is this at their detriment in some way? And has this made Gazans more reliant on the civilian infrastructure and Hamas personnel? Quite possibly.
UNRWA says the loss of funding is ensuring there'll be more deaths of innocent people in Gaza. The UK's next donation was due to come next month. It's not clear if it will send it or not.
To corrupt the famous Dirty Dancing quote, yep, nobody puts Mona Lisa in the basement. Probably not heard that one. Except Bhavani, it seems as though they do, and they will.
Yep, there'll be no carrying a watermelon at the Louvre before the
See
next.
What you've done?
Before the Olympics arrives in Paris, but there will be the carrying of probably the most famous portrait into a new home in the basement. And you'll not believe why when I tell you. It's officially been voted the world's most disappointing masterpiece by a huge survey, which included more than 18,000 comments criticising the Da Vinci painting.
But it's not all bad. The famous museum's bosses have reviewed the complaints and think that the long wait to get to the Mona Lisa, whereupon you get like 30 seconds to look before being moved on by security, and also the heat in its present home, that's the room called La Salle des Etats, during sunny days is the main issue. Having its own stage downstairs might solve it. The Times' David Chazan is a regular in the Louvre.
I think it probably is the right decision. A company called Coupon Birds did the analysis, and they quoted some tourists as describing the experience as torture, others saying they'd never felt so disappointed. Giving the Mona Lisa her own separate room in splendid isolation could lead to a much less disappointing experience for the public. And the director said that visitors aren't being properly received in the current space, and so that's why they want to change it.
Now, this seemed too good an opportunity not to ask David, if the Mona Lisa is the worst, what's the least disappointing piece of art at the Louvre?
My favourite artwork at the Louvre is the Venus de Milo, the sculpture that's in the Greek antiquities section. Got no arms, but still beautiful.
Like a podcast without decent stories. A beautiful idea, but you're still wondering why.
Not sure art's your strong point there, Toby, but I take your point. Fortunately, that's not us. Anyway, enough of that, we're out of time. Thanks for spending 10 minutes to stay on top of the world with the help of the Times of London. See you tomorrow.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Cross Wires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Ramesh Ranganathan and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.